All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome back to Hope Church. So glad to see you. Yeah, come on. You could be excited about it. Yeah, it's fun to be together. Thank you, Hope at Home, for watching today. We're just glad everybody's here. And by the way, if you are brand new here in the building today, once again, my lovely wife has baked cookies. What? You didn't know that's what you're going to hear first thing this morning. If you're new, you get first dibs, right? There's cookies, fresh baked. You take them. If there's a few left, the rest of us can fight for them. But we just want you to know we love you, and we're so thankful that you're here today. We're in a series called Win the Day, and so we're going to keep going through this summer series. Do we have our first slide up there, guys? We have a clock, I believe, that's going up there. Yes? There is a clock. I'm looking at it, and it is counting down right now for my time to end. I'm going to give you a second here. Here's what the clock is supposed to be. What do you think, guys? We're getting it? Wind the clock. There. Hey, now, come on. What are we looking at here? We're looking at a world clock, a world population clock. Now, it might be a little hard to see. It's kind of small writing, but look at this current world population, okay? 7, what is that, billion? No, I think that's billion. Yeah. 7,970,000 national debt. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, that's going up too. Check this other one out. We got births. Births this year. 91 million. Wow, look at that number. Births today, 252,000. What on earth? Death. Let's look at death this year. Death is definitely happening. 38 million people dying. But I mean, look at the comparison. The birth versus the death. I mean, that we hear so much about death, right? And negative things. But man, look at the life that's going on right now. It's crazy. There's a net population growth happening, right? A lot of life out there. You know, it's just fascinating to look at this stuff. There's a net gain. You know, that death category, 38,286,000, that was never supposed to be there. We were supposed to live forever. Remember Adam and Eve? They weren't supposed to die. They're supposed to live. That would have been awesome. They just made one different decision, right? Maybe we'd be in a different place. I don't know. But the world population growth, it increases by just over 1% every year. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's basically 140 million births every year versus 55 million deaths every year. So we're looking at a net gain of 85 to 90 million people every year. That's 4 births a second. A whole bunch of babies were just born. Right now. 4. Okay? You know what blows my mind? All of those people, they need the gospel. Right? 4. They've never heard it. They've never heard the gospel. We have a job to do, don't we? There's a lot of people being born all the time that need to hear the gospel. It also brings up an absolute ton of other issues. Someone yelled it out already, you know, national debt, all this stuff. Lots of issues come up with all these people being born, right? We've got healthcare expenses. Woo! We've got education expenses. We've got military expenses. It's going up. We've got production of goods, right? Anybody drive a car? All those babies are going to need a car someday, right? Right? TVs. Y'all own a TV? How many? Okay, TVs. Constant need for production, right? We need resources. We need water for all these people. We need oil. We need donut holes. I think we ate them all this morning, right? There's a lot of people. On and on it goes, and where it stops, No one knows. Next year, 2023, next year, we will reach the 8 billion mark. Crazy, huh? It's a big year next year. 8 billion people will be alive. By 2037, there will be 9 billion people. By 2057, 10 billion. This is what I looked up. I'll check my facts. I'll check my facts. But we agree it's a lot of people. 1 thing the whole world has in common. We are all on that clock. We are all on that clock. Depending on where you live on this ball, right? Your lifespan might be a little different. Another thing we all have in common, we all have the same amount of time each day. You have a time budget. You have a time budget. Your time also happens to be the ultimate limited resource, right? According to that clock, right? We got 24/7, 365, but it is running out. It's going to run out. And how many of you know when you were young? Remember those days, some of us? I was like way back there. When you're young, it seems like there's a lot of time. Most of you aren't even looking at me right now. They don't even care about this. They think they have all the time in the world. But the rest of us, young people, when we get older, we look back to you guys over there, and we say, man, it seems like life is slipping away. You know I love you guys. I'm just messing with you. Yeah. Seems like life's slipping away when you get a little older. And it begs the question this morning, how is your time spent? How is your time spent? It is a question that we all should be contemplating all the time. We really should. It's a good question to camp out on. And it is our next habit, habit number 6 in this series. It's called Wind the Clock. We're going to get into what that means in a little bit. But I want to dive into Scripture first. And if you have your Bibles, you want to open up your phones, Psalm 90. Psalm 90. We're going to read from there. Psalm 90. I'll give you a second to get there. But, you know, thousands of years ago, you know, Moses contemplated this very question. He contemplated the very same thing. He just said it a little different. He said, God, will you teach us to number our days? Will you teach us to number our days? So I want to read from a prayer that was written by Moses when he made this request to God. And here it is, Psalm 90, 1 through 12. It says this, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust. You mortals. 1,000 years in your sight, it's like a day just gone by. It's like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up. But by evening, it's dry and it's withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If we only knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's a pretty good prayer, huh? From Moses. Moses most certainly wrote this during Israel's time in the wilderness. And what was going on there? In short, a huge waste of time. A huge waste of time. If you remember, Israel had this golden opportunity. It was placed in their hands, and it was to take the promised land. Right? God had freed them from captivity. God told them to do it. God led them to do it. It was something they could do in their lifetime. In that short little span of their life. But they didn't do it. They failed to do it. Why? Because they didn't believe they could do it. And so they wandered in the desert for 40 years, wasting away. This is probably why Moses said this: teach us to number our days. Just think about it for a minute. If all those people, if they had realized that in 40 years, they would all be dead, think they would have changed their decision that day? When those 12 spies, you know, they were spying out the land of Canaan, the promised land. They looked at it. They looked at the giants. They looked at all of the obstacles, and they came back. 10 of the 12, right, came back with a negative report and saying, there's no way we could do this. I think if those people knew they were going to be dead in less than 40 years, they would have said, no way. They would have thrown all those guys and all those lies and all that negativity to the side. They would have marched into the land following Caleb and Joshua. Don't you think they would have if they had known? I think they would have wanted a second chance if they could get it. But they did not get one. But the next generation, they got one. They got a chance. And they did it. They did it. What does it mean to number our days? It means to consider the shortness of life. It means to consider how frail humanity is in comparison to the eternal God that we serve. Moses said in that prayer we just read, you are from everlasting to everlasting. You see, God doesn't live on the clock. He lives outside of time. He can interrupt our day whenever he wants to. But we here, we're bound, man. We're shackled. We're bound to the shackles of time. And we can't beat it, right? And I don't care how much Botox you stick in your face, right? How much you run on the treadmill. Haven't done much of that lately. And how many Brussels sprouts you eat, right? You cannot beat it. We need a stronger source. We need a greater source. A source of strength and help that is outside of all that. We need the Lord. You know, in Israel, back in the desert, you know, at this time, there were probably a lot of needs for Israel. They needed shelter. I mean, there was like over 1 million people. They needed food and water. They needed protection. They needed safety in childbirth when it was happening out in the desert. Moses points out here that God wasn't just a refuge for them during the wilderness time. He's been a refuge throughout all generations. For all of mankind, he's there for us. And so we must number our days because our generation is slowly exiting the camp. Right? You feel it. You know it. We must understand the limited time that we have on this earth. If there's one thing that we should all have learned from these last couple of crazy years, it's that time is a limited resource. The clock is ticking on all of us. What should we do then? Learn to number our days. So Moses says, learn to number our days. Said in another way, teach us how to spend our time. How should we spend our time? Here's the irony of this, okay? You can count your dollars. I could do that real fast in my world. You can count your daily steps on your Fitbit. Yeah, anybody do that? You could do that, but you really can't count your days, can you? You really can't number your days. I mean, you don't know. James chapter 4, 14, it says, you know, it tells us that we don't even know what tomorrow holds. So how can we know how many tomorrows we have left? You can't actually do this, right? It's a mystery. And yet Moses says it, and so the answer is this. It is to live wisely every day. Live wisely every day you have. And that is really what winding the clock is all about. Teach us to spend our time better. We got to use that clock the best we can. Why did Moses say this? He said it because he also said, this is a great way to gain wisdom. If you want to gain some wisdom today, wind the clock. Number your days. Start thinking about some of those things. Amen? You think we should try? Let's do it. Let's number our days. Let's just give it a shot. We're going to do some numbering of our days. You ready? Let's just talk some stats here. Average lifespan. The average lifespan is, anybody know what it might be? Got a guess? Close, close. Yeah, it's in the upper 78. 78. Now, last year, in 2021, it was 78.8. Average lifespan. Okay? Guess what? This year? 77.3. So, great. Thanks, sin. Thanks, decay. We lost a year. On average, you just lost a year of your life already. Boom. Gone. I hope 2023 is better. You know, I don't know. So let's say if you've made it to age 65, maybe you don't have to answer this question, but I would sure like to know if there's anyone 65 or older in the room. Anybody? Yeah, we got a couple. Look at that. We do have some of you guys. You guys are awesome. Let me just give you guys a stat, okay? I don't know what this is. If you all want to live to 90 and you're 65 already, congratulations, by the way, you made it to 65. You have a 35% chance to live to 90. Is that, you think that's good news, bad news? What kind of news do you think? I don't know what kind of news. Is it good or bad? Chances are not in your favor, okay? Let's just be honest. But I love you guys, and I want you to make it, all right? You got a 35% chance of making it. But here's the deal. If you are 65 or older, you know what you are in this room? You are awesome. You are amazing. We're along those lines here. You are a rare resource. You are a rare resource, okay? We love you guys. You're a rare resource, and I want everyone else to hear that. These people are a rare resource, okay? We need what they have to say. We need to talk to them. They have some amazing stories. They've been through way more than the rest of us. Some of you are almost 65. You're getting there. They have great. Yeah, I used to love, you know, my sets of grandparents have all passed away. My last one was last year. I used to love, the favorite times with them was to sit with them and listen to their stories. My grandfather would tell me, don't get emotional. All right, my grandfather would tell me World War II stories. He would tell me, I loved just hearing what he did in the military. Wow, what service, what sacrifice. I love when my grandma and grandpa would tell me about the times they lived through the Great Depression. Wow, stuff we don't talk about much anymore. I like hearing from my parents when they talk about how they first met. I like hearing about how they fell in love and why. By the way, my parents met in the theater. Yeah, my dad was a sound guy. My mom, she was like the lead in a bunch of plays in her college. They, you know, awesome. I love those stories. I think we should all write our memoir, right, to pass down, to tell. I love those stories. Here's a great thing you could do. You go find someone over 65. You sit down and talk with them and hear some wisdom. That's what you need to do if you want to gain wisdom. Okay, so we've established that we have about 80 years, okay? We're going to be very generous today and say that 80, we're going to just go, 80 is a nice even number to work with. It's generous. Sounds like a pretty good chunk of time, right? So we're going to do some stat tracking, okay? We're going to track some stats, and we're going to do some math, and we're going to think through how we spend this time. Let's start with the first one, TV and radio. TV and radio, does that sound like old terms? I don't know. I still listen to the radio in the car. TV, we all have TVs. We've been on TVs. Out of 23 countries assessed, all first world countries, right, with big populations, these stats I'm going to give you are based on Americans here. But just so you know, we spend the most time in the world on TV and radio. But here's what it is. The average person spends 2.5 hours per day TV and radio. Now, I took 80 years here, so that's that equals about 73,000 hours. You divide that by 24, we're going to get some days, and then we translate it to years. This is how I did all the math, okay? 8 years. 8 years. 8 years watching TV, okay? So hold on, let's start with 80, and let's knock off 8. We're down to 72, okay? 72 left, right? See where I'm going with this? All right, how many of you drove here today? Everybody. Okay, you guys drive everywhere. We all want an electric car. I know someday maybe we'll fly in cars. But we spend a lot of time in vehicles. The average American spends 17,600 minutes per year in a vehicle, which is 294 hours. It's a lot of time. If you translate that out, work it out, 2.5 years. 2.5 years of your life spent in a car. I took 80 years there because when you're a little baby, you still ride around in cars, right? So let's knock that off 72. We're in the 60s already. 69.5 years. All right, here's one we all have to do, right? Housework. You rent, you own, whatever. You got housework to do. You shop. I shop. Yeah, you shop. I know. We like to shop. But I'm going to combine these two. All right, if we combine our housework and our shopping on a daily average, it's 2 hours a day. 2 hours of all that. It translates to 5.5 years of your life shopping and doing housework. Okay, let's knock that down off of 69.5, and we're now down to 64 years. Okay, eating and drinking. Okay, we all have to eat and drink. All right, we're all ready to eat and drink as soon as I'm done yapping up here, right? You guys are ready to eat and drink, and we did a lot of that this morning. But here's the deal. If we map that out, it's about 1 hour a day. 1 hour a day. Does that sound like a little bit? You know what's crazy about Americans? We spend the most time in the world watching TV. We spend the least amount of time eating. Can you even believe that? Why do you think that is? I think we don't spend much time with people. I think that might be what it is. I don't know. We just eat and run. Chick-fil-A. Keep going through, right? Okay, so if we translate that out to years, it's 3.3 years of eating and drinking. We're down to 60.7 years now. All right. Now, here you thought you were going to have time. You did. You looked forward. You thought you were going to have time. And then social media happened. Boom. You got slayed, all right? Social media came out. More than half of the world now uses social media. 59% of the world. You saw that big number, right? 59%. 4.7 billion around the world, people around the world now use social media. 227 million new users have come online within the last 12 months. So the average daily time spent on social media is 2.5 hours. That's another 6.7 years. Now, I took that at 65 years. I knocked 15 years off for the younger years. 65 years. It's 6.7 years. You tracking? A lot of data today. We're almost through it. Let's knock off 60.7. We're down to 54 years, okay? Okay, we all work. Hello. We work, gotta work, get up in the morning. So I took this number at 40 years, if you work for 40 years, at 40 hours a week. Some of you are like, whatever, I work like 65 hours a week. I work 80 hours a week, right? That's funny, 40 hours. Some of you work a lot more than that. But if you work for 40 years, which most people work more like 50 years, right? And you do all that, and you only work 40 hours a week. It's 10 to 12 years straight. If you just worked it straight through, 10 to 12 years of life, okay? We just knocked it down to 44 years of life. Now it's time. It is time to absolutely hack your life up right here. We're hacking it because we haven't talked about sleep. Sleep. We sleep an average of 7 hours a day. Some of you are laughing at that. You new moms out there, you're like, I didn't sleep at all last night. We're talking averages. I don't think I've slept very well since I had kids, by the way. But, you know, we're getting back to the routines. All right. Sleep. My goodness. Let's just go straight to it. It amounts to, you ready? 23 years of life sleeping. Boom. We just knocked 44 down to 21. 21. Okay, 21 years. What are we going to do with that time? Well, here's what we haven't talked about. We don't have time for. All the other leisure activities you want to do. How about volunteering at the church? All right? Someone put the donuts out this morning. Thank you. There's people in the nursery. Thank you. Someone is teaching the class so my wife can be here. Thank you. You guys are awesome. You don't hear me, but you're awesome. But look, we haven't talked about doctor visits. Hello. We haven't talked about education. We have not talked about the internet. The rest of the time on the internet, it's not social media or shopping. Mostly what I do. Did you know on your phone, my wife told me about this because I am a complete, you know, tech dummy. That's why we need Pastor Zach here. I never make it in this world. But there is a screen time. What do you call it? App? No, not app. Setting, there it is. Screen time setting, and you can track your social media games and other activity on your phone. Just turn it on, it'll tell you. Well, I looked at the national average. National average of that is 5 years. No, I'm sorry, not five. 5 hours a day. 5 hours! I'm like, no way! No, that's too many! We looked at our stuff. Guess what? We fell in the national average. We did. We did it, national average. So let's just, if we were to do all that, knock it off, we're down into single digits for sure, okay? It wouldn't take much longer for us to assign every minute we have on earth to something we have to do. Do you see my point here? We're numbering our days. We know God is outside of all of this. He's outside of this. He doesn't operate on your schedule or my schedule. Right? He's outside. But the question still remains. What are we going to do with the time we have? Because we only have a certain amount of time. If you really want to do something, whatever it is, you've got to be intentional with your time. Very intentional. Because, listen, your time will be absolutely eaten alive. It will be for the rest of your life. Here's what Jesus said to us. I love it. I love Jesus. He's so wise. Amen. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Listen to this. I don't have this one up, but he says, so do not worry. Don't worry. I'm not here to make you guys worry about all this. But he said, don't worry. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first, what? That's right, I heard it. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We have to be intentional about that. Because our time's getting eaten up, isn't it? I really want to inspire you today to consider the time you still have left. You can still seek his kingdom first, right? You can still seek his righteousness. No matter what you've done before, no matter how much time you think you've wasted, no matter how much the enemy has stolen from you, you can start to seek his kingdom right now, today. The only thing we don't have any more time for is unbelief. We have no time for that. We cannot waver in our faith. That is over. Cut that out of the clock. We have to believe that Jesus can do what he said. And we have to move forward. Amen? Amen. Unbelief is the ultimate time resource killer. Right? I say it's time for us to believe. Amen. Here's how we wind the clock going forward. One, never give up. Don't give up today. Don't give up. God is working in your life. There's still time, right? You might feel down. You might feel like the clock is running out or it's stopped on you. It hasn't. It's still going. So wind it up again and keep going. Get back in the game. Get back in the Word. Get back in relationship with the Father. Come on. We got to do that. I love what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I haven't arrived at my goal yet, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. See, he just keeps going. Wind the clock. Number two, live wisely. We've got to learn to live wisely. How do we spend our time? Do we spend it in wisdom? Do we spend it in foolishness? We will spend our time in two ways. In two ways only. We'll spend it on wise things. Or by default, we will spend it on foolish things. It's the only two options. Time's a limited resource. We have to reserve slots in the time we have for what's most important. All right, rarely, if ever, will you find time. How many of you said, when I find time? You've said that. We quoted that. When I find time, No. You will rarely find time, guys. You will rarely find time. Usually you have to make time, all right? It means changing things around within the time you have. You got to change stuff. You got to get stuff out. Put good stuff in, right? Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, one day we will rise from the grave. And so Paul reminds us that because we will be, excuse me, I read that. That was a note, not the scripture. Here's what Paul reminds us of. So one day we're going to see Jesus. We're going to rise. from the dead. Whether you're good or bad, you believed in him or not, you're rising from the dead. That's what the Bible says. And you're going to see Jesus. And so Ephesians 5:15 tells us, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. All right, never give up. Live wisely. The last one here, be intentional with your time. I love Paul because his life was an incredibly good use of time. His whole life, he was very intentional with all of his time. He was educated. He was successful. He was a full-blooded Jew from the tribe of Benjamin, which basically means he was saved, right? According to the law. He knew the law cover to cover. He was also zealous, which means he had energy for success, to do things for God. But he didn't know Jesus Christ until the later parts of his life. And as he sat shackled in chains, he was able to do some reflecting and some writing. That's how Philippians was written. And here's what he had to say. He said, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. This is a man who used his time wisely. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Paul literally lost everything he ever worked for. Everything. House, money, influence, all of it. Job, lost it all. Shackled in jail. So I got the one thing I need. Knowing Christ. All right, let's wrap this up. Someone who spent their time so wisely, our Savior Jesus Christ. And if you think about it, Jesus lived before time began. He lived outside the clock. But he submitted himself to the clock, to life as a human, to death on the cross, to hardship, to suffering, right? So that the 8 billion people on this ball could have a Savior. And so that people throughout all the generations could have the Savior. He died for all of them. Jesus was on the clock for you and me. So I just want you to leave today with a few questions swirling in your head. Okay? Leave with some of these questions. These would be great conversation questions for you at lunch, in your small groups, and the leaders. I'm sending out a form for you guys to follow if you want to. Think of these questions. How much time do you think you still have? That's a good question. Here's another one. What are you going to leave your family when the clock runs out? Money? Advice? What kind of relationship will be left behind? What kind of example will be left behind by your life for future generations? What lies beyond the clock? We start thinking about eternity. We start spending our time differently. Moses, in his words in Psalm 90, tells us there's something outside of the clock, right? So are you living for time or are you living for eternity today? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we have a lot of respect for you, and we're in awe of you in the life that is happening right now all over the planet, that you're watching over all of it. We can't even fathom it all. But you are from everlasting to everlasting. You have always been. You are our refuge. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may all gain a heart of wisdom, that we can do your will, we can know your will. And what we leave behind will be for the benefit of the generations that are being born right now, every second. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness to your promises. Teach us to number our days. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. Don't forget your cookies. Love you. See you next week.